Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Millennial Entrepreneur, hosted by myself, Sina Sadzadeh. In this episode, I spoke to Bart Jan, founder of Lareka, a startup that helps hotels rank higher on travel search engines using an algorithm he designed. And we covered how Bart Jan first tested the algorithm using Excel and how you don't need specialized knowledge coding experience to test it out, showing that anyone can actually do it. He outlines the tools that you can use in order to do something similar. And secondly, how he expanded the startup from testing the algorithm to packaging it, commercializing it into an actual business. And lastly, how he attracted his first group of customers. Before we go on, I want to say a quick thank you to everyone listening for the podcast, because it's been a crazy journey and we are approaching the end of the year, which is incredible. Like it's November now. And as a result, we are going to wrap up the podcast for this year by the end of November. And so as a result, it would be amazing if you could leave a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen, because we want to finish this year with an absolute bang. So I would really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for clicking on the podcast again, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Hey, Bart Jan, how are you?
Hey, Sina, I'm fine. What about you?
Very good. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's such a pleasure to have you on to talk about Lareka. It's a very innovative sort of business, and I've not really seen, and we've not had on the podcast before, a similar business to what you're doing. You've got an algorithm specifically for hotels.
Yeah, that's right. So we have an algorithm designed for hotels, vacation rentals, Airbnbs, like every actor present in the hospitality industry, to really uplift and maximize their revenue based on data, but also based on visibility. Like on Google, you have SEO, what are primarily driver of our algorithm is booking engine optimization. We really maximize the utilization of the OTAs to really maximize the profits. For the people who are listening and don't know what OTAs mean, so it's online travel agency like booking.com, Airbnb, this kind of thing.
How did you come across something like this? This is very, I always love this sort of story. I always ask everyone that comes on the podcast, because this is a very, I mean, this isn't a problem that I guess you would probably face, but unless you own a hotel, right? So how did you come across this?
Well, it's a very unique story, I think. So my parents own a bed and breakfast in the center of Bruges.
Oh, that's where it comes from.
That's where it comes from. So they live in Bruges, in the center of Bruges. And when the COVID pandemic started, I was at home doing nothing like everybody else in the world. So I was really like, I was in need of some purpose with my time. So I really started like testing some algorithms with their booking.com account and with their Airbnb account, etc., to really shift the limited market amount that was available in the city of Bruges during the COVID pandemics, to really shift them to their bed and breakfast. And this is how it all started. It all started with very bootstrapped, very, very bootstrapped. And then I like got some clients who said, okay, hey, you can come test with us and we give you like the platform and our hotel resources to start building it. So
when you say testing algorithms, what do you mean specifically by that?
First phase, or the first version, it was just an algorithm I built for the bed and breakfast of my parents. So it was like nothing special. It was just like designed for them. It wouldn't work for any other hotel. So then, like, to really go to market with the algorithm, I needed some testing with other hotels, other bed and breakfasts. So what's really happened was I was able to utilize their backends, their property management systems, how it's called, to really like integrate the algorithm, test which kind of parameters have an effect on what. This was a very long period. It took like 4 months to really like put everything into shape, like a lot of errors, a lot of things that didn't work, a lot of bad days. But after 4 months, we were ready to go to market.
So when you say testing the algorithm originally on your parents' bed and breakfast, did you write the code yourself? Or like, did you just like do, say, like a flow chart or like how this would work? Like, how did you first test it out?
First, it was an algorithm. I did every step of the way manually. So I looked at the data myself. I adjusted everything. So like my first automation of the algorithm is how me and the IT team college, which takes right now 10 seconds, costs me at the time one day. So it was like me manually changing things, updating position visibility, playing with the rates across different channels, doing everything manually. And every step was like, along the way, it got automated and it was really like an algorithm.
What did it look like originally then when you were like changing these different algorithms? I'd change these different like parameters, I guess. I'm thinking of it from like, if anyone's listening here and they want to test out an algorithm, were you using, say, an Excel spreadsheet? Were you using, what were the tools that you were using in order to do this?
Yeah, Excel spreadsheet was like my, I had like all the parameters that I researched. I did like a web scraping and tested like, okay, what kind of parameters are present in someone who is ranked top on booking.com, then on someone is ranked second, etc., etc. And all these parameters I put like in a big Excel sheet, and then I played something with Excel. It's called VLOOKUP. Just like some very basic Excel to really see, okay, which kind of parameters should I test? Does it really have an impact? So it was all some manual work, but then we really started testing it to like adjust these parameters automatically to each region, because each region has another ranking. So it was like really the root was in an Excel file. I still have it to this day.
Oh, that's amazing. Essentially, I guess you were looking at who was ranking top on like booking.com and the other online travel agents, and then kind of like reverse engineering what made them get to that spot. And obviously like breaking it down into the parameters of what they do correct. And also like why the ones that rank lower. And then obviously when you reverse engineer that, you put the parameters. But I guess like more pragmatically, like what, I guess you have the parameters, but like, do you fill the cells with numbers, and do you fill them with like, what did you fill them up with? Because it's very easy. You can go on booking.com now and see what's top, but how did you play around with the numbers?
Yeah, but what is very important and what a lot of people don't know is that the position and the utilization of, for example, in Belgium, is the Airbnb profile has a very big impact on the position of the booking.com profile. And then in other countries like Germany, we have Expedia, which has the same impact on booking.com. So like, it's a whole mathematical equation. This parameter has on Airbnb this like weighted effect on the Airbnb profile, but also had a weighted effect on this booking.com profile. So it's like, it was really like reverse engineering the whole mathematical equation, because like all these platforms have their own algorithm, their own search index, but they're all related to each other because they constantly verify to each other and they update their own search indexes every week. So we have to adapt to this too. So it's really playing with the data. So what we really do is, for example, when someone wants to book a hotel in London, then we check, okay, which OTA, so which channel like Airbnb, booking.com, Expedia has the most traffic according to the data on, for example, a Saturday night. If booking.com in London has the most traffic on a Saturday night for hotels, then we will like automatically turn the equation towards booking.com. So the position is maximized on booking.com on behalf of the position on Airbnb, because everything is like a whole dependent cycle.
So when you first tested out that, I guess like the first step was like putting all the parameters into an Excel spreadsheet, and then playing around with some of the data. And I'm guessing that each hotel or like property would come out with an overall score, and that would be like how high they rank on like booking.com, for instance. I guess like when you got to that stage and you kind of cracked the code of what leads to you being top of these different search engines when it comes to booking a hotel, what are the results that you got with your parents' Airbnb, with your parents' property?
So what the direct result was that they were always in their market segments top listed on booking.com, because their strategy is directed to booking.com. But like along the way, so I have a background in finance, we really started implementing some revenue management techniques, because visibility on these platforms is a good marketing tool, but this marketing is like your door to a good revenue management strategy. So this is where we really shifted the algorithm towards, to really use this algorithm to start a well-based, well-driven revenue management strategy. So like in hospitality industry, there's like this supply and demand. So there's the rule, the lower occupancy you have, the lower you do your rates. For example, you want to attract more people on a last minute basis, just to fill your occupancy. This is where we tend to move away. We really play with the visibility to, like, if there is some last minute occupancy, we really increase the visibility in certain markets. So we really use our algorithm like as a door to a revenue management strategy. As I mentioned to you, the most of us have like a background in finance or IT. So we really utilize with pricing, with everything, like their whole revenue management strategy based on data.
So Barjan tested the algorithm, but I really want to ask him the next step beyond that, because he tested it works, he tested different parameters, and he got results from that. But what was the next stage in actually packaging it up and commercializing it to actually getting, you know, paying customers? But before we go on, I want to tell you quickly about the podcast new sponsor, Zencastr. So I get messages a lot, you know, maybe every week saying, you know, how do I do a podcast remotely? A lot of people getting into it. Recording a podcast remotely can be quite difficult and challenging. And platforms such as Zoom, you know, Google Meets, whatever, they're not built for podcasting. So that means when you record it, the sound quality doesn't sound too good. And if there's an absence or breakage in sound, then the end user, so the listener, actually picks it up. I have been obsessed with the sound quality since day one, and as a result, I've searched long and hard for a platform that let me podcast remotely without that breakage in sound and, you know, optimizing quality. And the platform that I came across that I've been using for 2.5 years now across all the podcasts that I do is Zencastr. Now, Zencastr makes the podcasting experience so easy. And, you know, everything from local recording, which basically means that my sound records on my side and their sound records on their side. So you get two different audio files that you can put together and post. And so the sound is extremely clear. And if you don't believe me, you can look back at all my episodes that I've recorded, apart from episode one, number 100, which I recorded in person. Every other one I've used Zencastr to record. So if you want to use Zencastr, and I don't know if I should say this, but in actual fact, it's a free tool. So I've been using the free package for 2.5 years, and it's an amazing tool. So I highly recommend that you sign up if you are looking into podcasting remote. It's the best tool that I've been using, and I'm not switching anytime soon. Now, I want you guys to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. So if you're interested in the paid or free package, then there is a link in my description that starts with zen.ai. Click that link, you know, sign up to whatever package that you want. If you are looking for more sort of specialty package, such as like all the editing stuff to be taken care of, then you can use my link and it will give you 30% off your first 3 months. Otherwise, you can use the free package, which is what I've been using for 2.5 years. So thank you so much. Let's go on with the episode.
It's actually a funny story. So I knew I built something, but I didn't realize it was like it could really turn into a business. So I wanted to go with my friends on a holiday. So I just scraped the website with hotels, emails them, and I said, okay, does anyone want to do this so I can earn some money and I can go with my friends on a holiday? But so I sent an email to like 130 people, and I think 120 responded and say, please implement it. And then for me, it was a realization like, oh, okay, this is more than like a student salary to go on a holiday. And that's where like everything started, where like the business plan came in, like really the idea to go to markets, proof of concept, all the strategies started.
That's very cool. So yeah, so 120 of them responded to you. How did you package all that sort of information, all those Excel spreadsheets, into something that you could offer to all these guys as a product?
Yes. So I was lucky enough to like found one guy at the coast in Belgium who said, okay, you can try it. And he had like a bed and breakfast, a hotel, an apartment. So he had like all three I was looking for to like go to the next step. So I worked on his property for 3 to 4 months, like implemented it on his specific backend, playing with his parameters, doing everything. And like during, because he had like a more sizable hotel, more sizable amount of units than the bed and breakfast of my parents. So these were really like the automatic algorithm as it is today really started to have shape. So we did it like 3-4 months there. And then we knew, okay, we have something that where we can go to market. We started to go to market. Of course, we started with little ones. We started with bed and breakfast apartments just because we were in this proof of concept period. Like we couldn't go to big hotels because we were like just some young guys who made an algorithm. We had no track record. So yeah, we started with bed and breakfast, and then we really like started moving alongside the ladder. So in the beginning, we had 3 rooms, bed and breakfast, then we got 10 room bed and breakfast, where we were very excited about. Now we have hotels with 30, 40, 50, 60 rooms, and we are growing. And yeah, over we have around 300 integrations as of today, and the general implication is that like the revenue part increased by 24%, and then we also have this specific metrics, it's called revenue per available room, that also increased by 24%. So it's the implications are really good.
Do you work with, say, a bed and breakfast or a hotel on like a personal basis? Is it more of a consultancy business model, or is it more of a software as a service business model?
It's in fact, it's like both. So we get paid in two ways. Or if it's like if they are not that big, so if they have, for example, a little bed and breakfast, they just pay a monthly fee, and we act as their revenue managers, but with like very specific and best top notch market knowledge. We implement our algorithm, and we take care of all the rest. So we have a personal approach with them too. But for the bigger change, we work no cure, no pay. So this means if our services and our algorithm doesn't work, if our way of thinking and our revenue structure doesn't work, we don't get paid. We just take a cut of everything. We earn more for them.
So what's the next stage for the business now?
So at the end of November, we are entering our first physical office. So like all the team can start to work together, and we can start really building the corporate culture. But we are scaling across Europe. Like our hope is to be in 24 months to be present in 15 European countries. As of today, we are present in 6, but we really hope to scale and evolve to really like a respected European revenue management company for hotels, bed and breakfasts, and rental.
That's really interesting. I really like the story of how you went from testing this sort of like algorithm with an Excel spreadsheet of like, okay, if we change this number, what happens to the ranking and like all that type of thing. I really like that sort of playing around with the data and not sort of building any technology before you've cracked the code. My question is though, when it comes to, do you have to continuously do that because these algorithms continuously change? You know, these, especially like booking.com, Airbnb, they always change and always iterate. So for you guys, do you have to continuously try to reverse engineer what they're doing?
No, like we update our own algorithm every week based on their changes, but it's like, it's done automatically. Like it happens one or two times every 2 or 3 months that we really have to have a manual look at it because like they did some bigger change, but like these changes they do, they only have like 1% significance, we call it. So like if we don't do it, the implications wouldn't be that big, but if we don't do it for like 10 weeks in a row, it's not 1% significant, but it starts to accumulate. But
so reverse engineering at the very beginning was a lot more difficult than the ongoing iterations that you're doing now. I'm assuming like if it's 1% difference each time, then it's obviously a lot easier, but it's not like radical changes.
Exactly. But we are always on top of that. Like we have scripts running to really like notify us of every change. So the team is always playing with this and doing the changes automatically. And it's Like the team is working very good on that, because like everything change, every time a change happens, like it's automatically update for all our existing clients, so they don't need to worry about it.
But Jan, if anyone's listening and they want to go towards this sort of like business model where they can build a tool, an algorithm, not in hotels, but in any other sort of industry that they think that this would really be applicable, but they don't come from a computer science background, but they want to test out with Excel. How can they do that? What advice do you have for people listening?
Like, what always helped me was like figuring out things on yourself. Like, just go to a platform, play with it, and then start noting down every step. Maybe record your screen and then put it in Excel. And then with Excel, you can really like see all the steps, see where you can automate, and then this 10 steps from the beginning will become one. This one step will become like a half, and so you can really start to scale.
Well, Bajan, it's been incredible talking to you and learning about your business. And I do wish you the best luck. It sounds amazing. It sounds like one of those things that a lot of, I know, because bed and breakfast are usually run by families and like yet small businesses. And when you can help those sort of people and provide a lot of value, then I know that the growth can be there. And then obviously you can go for the bigger boys after that. So I definitely see application here. And I see so much innovation happening. Well, not innovation, but just work being done on SEO. Everyone's kind of in the game of like, we can rank you first on Google and everything like that. I haven't seen much in the hotel space or the hospitality space. So it's a very cool space that you're in. Yeah. So it's been a pleasure speaking to you. How can people stay in touch with you and your journey?
They can follow me or send me a connection invite on LinkedIn. So it's Bartjan Leitz. Or they can just go to our website. So it's www.loreca.be. We are Belgium-based, so it's .be.
Thank you so much again for coming on the podcast again, Bartjan. And we will chat very soon, I'm sure. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Millennial Entrepreneur. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, it would be amazing if you leave a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. And thank you so much for clicking on the podcast again, and I'll catch you in the next episode.